right, God bless you guys for joining us here on Axie Tuesday Testimony Service. It's always a pleasure for you guys to be with us in the studio. And it's always interesting, just a word that's coming forth from the kingdom of God about just being in the process of testimony. You know, our life is just a testimony. Every day we raise up, it's a testimony about how God kept us, but God raised us, how he kept us through what we call the shadows of the valley of death. We didn't have to fear about anything, but we knew the Sharad, which is the word of God, constantly moved us through what we see in dangerous and unparalleled times. You know, we talk about perilous times. We look at all the different events on the news, and we look at all the things that are going around us, and we thank God for the power of the word of testimony in terms of when we look at Psalms 91, blessed is a man, and it talks about all those good things that we are under the shadows of the Almighty, or blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, Psalms 1. How these words really testify about the truth of God's word and how it keeps us from every hurt, harm, and danger when the enemy seems to try to come against us. We're going to get moving here on this particular testimony service this morning, this afternoon. We'll do a lot of morning shows, so we want to kind of get that flipped a little bit, but we're going to get it right here. And we're going to look at some variations of scriptures on the Testimony Tuesday. For those who call into the studio, you can do so. Be a part of the show. Maybe there's a testimony of something happened in your life this week. Maybe there's a sudden event that you saw God deliver you from and you feel like, well, I don't need to testify. It was just by mere luck that I made it through this particular incident or this particular day. But I thank God for that. When I looked at my job and while I was moving, I saw things all around me, the process of seeing things all around me. I saw God was yet keeping me in the midst of all the storms and all the problems and all the proclivities that seemed to go around me and bombard me in my life. Life is truly a testimony, especially when you walk with the anointing and the power of God and the authority of the Holy Spirit. He's always given us something during the course of time when we actually in the Word of God. We're moving forth as we continue to move and do what God has declared us to do in the kingdom of God. The Bible says not a weapon formed, not a weapon created. It can't be designed and engineered against the work of the kingdom of God as we go forth. And we believe and declare the word of God as we move that the weapons of the enemy, the warfare, the things that try to come against us, the things that distract us, to push us out of the way, we just continue to look forward and just believe and declare and decree that in our life it's really more than what we can see. So we're going to open up with prayer and we'll get started here. As I said, once again, for those who want to call into the studio, you can be a part of it. Testimony, I can testify all on my own. Here at HNLC Studios. And really, when we get the callers that come in like we're doing now, all you have to do is call in 619-393-6478. One more time, 619-393-6478. I want to make sure I get this information out to you because we're not going to be on the air that long tonight. If we do have to push over, we will do. Amen. God bless you and God keep you. We just want to open up with prayer. Father God, we thank you. We bless you. We honor you for this opportunity. All the things that been going on in this ministry during the course of the time of the week that you've been blessing us and continue to open up ways of all types of fountains of the particular area of your favor. Father God, we thank you for that and all that you're doing for us as of right now, even as we speak. We thank you for all those who are coming into the show as we see them coming in. And we thank you for the blessings that you're pouring upon this ministry each and every day and every minute that you continue to give us revelation from the kingdom, not through education, but through discerning power of those who are on the prayer team to continue to keep us lifted up in the way that we're going. Let's look at some interesting things here. We talk about one of the things we do every day. We always talk about most of us supposed to do the daily prayer. You know, it's mighty when you talk about how the daily prayer provides a hedge around us and just the words of Christ and just how we speak. It provides really significance of a protection on our life when we're just going through everyday life. You know, the word of God declares when we rise up, when we go to sleep, we always say the model prayer, you know, thou Father who art in heaven, you know, thou kingdom come, thou will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You think about the process of that particular prayer, and Jesus declared that to when you pray, you ought to pray like this. Go in your closet, shut the door, pray to your Father which is in secret. And when he seeth you in secret, the Bible said he will reward you openly. But he said, but when you pray, don't pray in vain repetition as the heathens do, but think that you should be heard for much speaking. Sometimes we think about the much words we say and all the things we say to make people make us feel good and make us sound good. But God is not really looking at that. He's looking at the sincerity of your heart. You talk about the word in the book of Matthew in that particular 12th chapter and that sixth verse. He say, when you by prayeth, you know, enter into a secret place, enter into your closet place, your quiet place. That when you pray to our Father who are in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. But one thing about this particular area, when you're testifying about the prayer of God and the power and the covenant of God, he's talking about how you as men and women of God ought to consecrate yourselves, concentrate yourself. But he says in the sixth verse that when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. He's talking about get yourself into a secret place, a place of solitude. Solidify yourself in the spirit, knowing that when you pray, God said, now when your prayers will ever touch the ground, but it be heard from the Father which is in heaven. And when he sees you and you're travailing in secret, God will continue to reward you openly. I believe when you pray to God and you ask him, he gives you a testimony by providing everything he said according to his word. And every word that proceeded out of his mouth, and you begin to repeat that word, and you begin to replenish that word in the earth, God will see that those words have come to full fruition. He said, when I pray, don't pray in vain repetition. Don't be like the heathens. Don't say things to be heard by many people to make sure your prayers are sounding good. Just believe when you pray that it's an earnest prayer that's coming from your heart. Sometimes we get wrapped up in how our prayer sounds and how good we can oratorically say the word of God, but it really deals with the sincerity of our heart. Sometimes, men and women of God, we say we pray, and when we pray, we think about the process, how it would sound to others. No, it's not how it sounds to others. It's the sincerity of your heart. If you just say, Lord, I'm just asking you to help me. I may not know how to pray, but Lord, pray. I pray that you deliver me. You help me. You sincerely come into my heart and show me what I need to be and the way I need to be when you call me doing the work that you want me to do. It's just a simple prayer. It ain't got to be all this night. I mean, we pray because we practice praying. Not saying practice praying, but we pray with things from our heart. It's a heart prayer. And the Word of God talks about the process after the manner. Therefore, he prayed over here in the book of Matthew 12 and that ninth verse. He's at the matter. They prayed, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. One of the first things we ought to do when we get up in the morning is get God Shabbakim. Give him praise. Give him the opportunity to know he guided us and kept us as we went on and what to call his tedious journeys, going through up and down all the things that happened around us. God yet kept us in the manner of all the things we dealt with in life. He says about the process in the manner that when you pray, pray to the Father which are in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Look what he says, the kingdom come. Call him down from heaven and call him to the point that you know wherever you go, he's right there with you. He said you got to be in the will of God. That's a will, a testimony in itself. Anybody who walks in the will of God, everything you have and done here on earth will come to full fruition. He said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You look at this prayer, you think about it just a model prayer, but it's the model prayer and it covers every area of dispensation or proclivities of problems or storms, event that happened in your life. Why? Because he tells you everything you need, first of all, when you're praying in the will of the Father, you know, thou will be done. Thou will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Look, give us this day. We're asking for an opportunity to have another chance to rise up in the morning, Lord, that we'll make it through this day. Despite of all the destruction, the problems that happen around us, we still believe and trust in through your faith and through your beliefs and your prayers, what you promised us when we pray to you, that you will keep us, Father God, in the midst of the daily bread you promised us when we woke up this morning. It's a testimony. We ought to give God some praise when we woke up this morning because that's a testimony. I made one more day on this earth. I made one more day that I can testify about the goodness of God and what he's done in my life. Just one more day. Give me this daily bread, Lord, you know, and when you forgive me this daily bread and forgive me of my debts, everything I may have done that has stopped me receiving the blessing from you, Lord, I want you to touch my heart, touch my mind. I mean, you got to testify to God about the goodness that he's done for you and what he's doing for you when you're going through these very trials in your life. It's not about how you quote scripture. I'm talking to somebody. It's not about how you get a part of a certain group or something clique. When you learn to walk alone, when you learn to trust in God, when there ain't nobody else around, I'm telling you, men and women, that God will show you things that you never known or heard or seen before. This is not something that we gather to the point that we're going to get name notoriety for ourselves. It's the work of the kingdom. If don't nobody ever be with you and where you're going, look, you want one thing. You got a place secured in the kingdom of God. Mush on, man, woman, God, and do the work of the kingdom. He says in the 11th verse, give us this daily bread. I like when he talks about the daily bread. You know, because it's an opportunity for us to continue to move forward with the word of God. The word of God, he told the disciples, he said, Lord, it seems like you never eat. He said, I have bread and food that you know not of. I have a word that comes from my Father. And when he gets word from his Father, it gives him an opportunity to move forth in every day with his short life here on earth as he continues to do such a magnificent work in the process of just moving forward. You know, we look at one of the other areas of the version of this particular scripture. Now, go over to Derby Translation. You look over in the 11th verse. It just said, give us day to day our needed bread. Just don't give us overflows. Give us day to day our needed bread. And it goes in that 12th verse in the Derby Translation. And forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. You know, listen to how he said this. Forgive us. See, we got problems. We got problems that we hold toward and grudges toward people. And we got things that we hadn't forgave people about. That even in the manifestation of the power of God moving your life, you wonder why your blessings are being pulled away. You wonder why things are not moving quite right in your life to where they should be. There's something there that you're, as he told Paul, quit kicking against the pricks. Quit trying to fight against me. There's someone I have placed in your life. There's someone I put around you. There's some things I've done for you. And I want you to really walk. It's not about getting notoriety and popularity. This is one of the reasons why when I walk in the kingdom of God, I sometimes don't see not a man, not a fly, you know, because sometimes they'll be with you and they'll be gone the next day. You have rules and regulations in place, but they never will. I mean, you got to see what I'm saying here. If don't nobody be there with you, you got to believe in your heart, know, declare, decree. You got to move forward. He says in that 12th verse, and give us our debt. Forgive us our debts. I got to forgive everything and everybody that ever tried to come and scrutinize the work that I'm doing here at Harvest New Life Church. But I got to believe in the midst of the call is not to them, but it's to the kingdom of God. That my voice be heard. As he gave me this powerful unit, this particular anointed station that he gave me to build. And it reaches people all over the world, 3 million plus, in a pool of all types of people who come in all walks of life, from Africa to Germany to Rome to France, all over the world. God gave them the ear to be able to hear the work that's going on here in the HNLC. Don't ever find yourself being pulled away from the word of God because a few crumbs that don't want to fall in line with you. So you got to flow with who flow with you. And you can't find yourself in a position where you've been pulled away from the work of God. Stay intact with the kingdom of God. He says in that 13th verse in the Derby Translation, and lead us not into temptation. Listen here. Don't fall into temptation. Don't fall into the rules and the regulations of the enemy. Don't let them make you feel that what you're doing is opposite of what God already declared and called you to be. Move forward in this area. He goes on in the Derby Translation. He talks about over there in the 14th verse. He said, if you give men their offerings, forgive men their offenses. Forgive them their offenses. And have you forgiven their offenses? Let your heavenly Father also forgive you for yours. Is anybody free from sin? I don't know. We go through trials in our life and we go through circumstances in life, but we got to believe something. That God is yet there to pick us up when offenses seem to come against us. When things have been barred us, begin to harbor over us. You got to know how to stand still in solitude. You can't be in a wishy-washy state. Sometime I'm here and sometime I'm not. I just want to be itchy ear to hear what's going on. And you got to really ask the Lord to remove those type of things and environments from around you. All the soothsayers, all the ones who were called to try to put all that drama against you. You got to get away from that because you got to walk in the kingdom of God. And you got to let your heart be free of all obstacles that's come and try to stop you from doing what God has called you to do. You know, when you speak, you got to speak from the heart. You got to speak from the heart, and you got to tell the things that God has given you to say in the time you need to say it. But one of the most interesting stories I always talk about, you talk about testimonies. I talk about this woman of God over here in the book of Kings, such a horrific story about how this man of God, who really was a husband, Obadiah, took care of the prophets when it was in the cave. But it came a time that the credit and the things he had built up from borrowing to feed these prophets in the cave, it came down to where he had passed away and he still owed debt. And as he owed debt, they came to his house and tried to bombard him and his wife by taking their two sons, which is an old custom of what they should do. You know, once the debt falls off the husband, it passes on to the sons, and they have to work it off. But when you look at 2 Kings, you look at the revelation of 2 Kings, I was talking with one of the men of God, Apostle Miola, and many of us have a very interesting conversation this afternoon about this particular testimony over in the book of 2 Kings chapter 4. The Bible said the woman cried out. You look at the first verse over in the King James Version. Now the woman cried out, the woman of the wives of the prophets, of the sons of the prophets, and it says Elijah said, thy servant, thy husband is dead, and I know that thy servant did fear the Lord. He's talking about Obadiah, who fed these particular prophets, took care of the prophets that Jezebel and all these Ahab tried to kill these men of God. You know, we talk about how Jesus calls out Jerusalem, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem. It was a message I spoke earlier this week. Tell me how that this is the place where the prophets was killed, where the prophets are being killed and slandered right now by witches and warlocks, people undercover that's walked in the body of Christ, claim to be one thing, but there's something that's undercover. You got to have what you call a discerning spirit in this day and time. Men and women wonder why they go through transformations in their life. It is with persecution, but sometimes you bring the persecution to yourself. The woman of God cried out, and she said to Elijah, said, your servant, my husband is dead. The man of God who I live with all my life is now dead. And I know that the servant did fear the Lord. That's one of the things he had. When we go back and look at the area in the book of Matthew, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy will be done on earth as it is. He feared the Lord because he asked the Lord to give him a daily opportunity to do the work. I'm talking about a testimony. These stories we hear in the Word of God is testimonies. Everything you read in the Bible about what's going on in the dispensation of this life you are now living in, it's a testimony how God can bring you out of whatever proclivity that you're going through in your life. You may not want to hear, but you got to understand, it's not just a story. It's a testimony letting you know how you can be delivered from whatever it may be in your life. If they went through, then God can tell you that you can go through. He's no respect for God. He would do for them, he'd do for another. Every demon and every devil, every warlock, every witch that ever tried to come against you. You got to believe, you got to knock yourself down on your knees. You got to pray to God to knock down the forces that are around you. This woman of God knew that her husband was a man of God. And now here come the enemy from Ahab's camp. Want their money back to the point they want to take the woman of God's sons and take them for ransom to pay off this particular area of this fee that they owe. You know, that's greed in the body of Christ. Sometimes we receive something from someone we think it's a blessing from Christ. Sometimes it may be a curse to you in such a way that you don't understand it. That's if you don't do right by it when God gives it to you. The woman said over here, she said, your servant fear the Lord. She said the creditors, notice what she's saying, the creditors, like they do most of the people now today, your credit, you know, everything now is based on your credit this, your credit that. They want to hold you to the point that if you don't pay back this, that, and the other, then they're going to put a lien against you. And they're going to hold you to the point that you're not going to be able to get what they say that's in the earth available to you. But God said freely given, freely received. But I'm not saying that you, a man or woman of God, shouldn't take care of your finances. But there are things that arrive in people's life to the point they can't, you know, when this woman of God found out that these creditors are coming to take her sons away as been bondsmen, she had nothing. She had nothing in her home. The man of God came, Elijah said to her, what shall I do for thee? She was at the mercy of this prophet. Tell me, what does I have in thy house? Now, this is kind of strange. This is a testimony getting ready to blow wide open. Why the power of God can move in the life of an individual when they don't seem to know which way they need to go. I hear my mother say, bless her soul, and she's resting in the kingdom of God. And she said, God is a God to make a way out of no way. When men look at you in such a way that they don't feel you got what it take to get an overflow from the kingdom of God because of the very surroundings of the nice words you may speak and say, they'll look at you as if you're not able to get what God has in store for you. But God said, declare that every man has a right to the tree of life, that everybody has a right to receive things that God has in store for them. They may help them in the life that they're living. This woman of God looked at this situation and she said, ain't no way I can pay these very bondsmen the money that they need because my husband borrowed so much doing something righteous for God. She took bread. He took bread and he fed the prophets in the cave. Obadiah did. You got to read it and you got to understand who this woman's husband was. Most people don't even know this because they don't take time to study. There's no surface of the scripture. But you got to get in depth. One of the things in seminary, know what you're talking about and when you're talking about it. It relates to a thing that you deal with in your own life today as a testimony that when you're going through situations in your life, there are people that's going to come against you and reframe you and strain you from things that God has already freely gave to you. They want to put what we call creditors on it. They want to put handles on it, points on it. They want to involve a system to the point if you mess up one time, they're going to hang you for the rest of your life until you give them their money. One of them, God said, I don't have no money to give these men and women of God. Elijah said, I got something more powerful than you. What do you have in your house? What shall I do for thee? And the woman said, I have nothing in the house, she said, but thy handmaid. Notice she put herself at the mercy of him. Thy handmaid has not anything in the house save a pot of oil. That's all I got. You go to my fridge, you already got a light bulb in there, she's saying. I ain't got nothing in there. The word of God declared and decreed when he began to give, this is the bulk of this, when you think about it. She came and gave a man, she gave a woman an ultimatum. It's really the trust in him, that what God is about to do for her, that he come out as a prophet, as a messenger from Christ, to bring her out of her very situation. And sometimes men, you look at things come in our life, prophets come in our life, apostles come in our life, men of God come in our life, but we don't recognize the anointing on them. We take them for granted because they don't sound familiar. They don't sound right to the tingling of their ears. So what they do, they discredit you. They throw you away. But in this particular case, this woman looked at the situation and she began to say, I have nothing in my house but a pot of oil. Your handmaid, I'm at your mercy. I have nothing but a pot of oil. And he began to tell her, as we look at the third verse, then he said, borrow vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. Get everything that you can get. Get your wagon. Get the son of the pull a cart and get all of them you can get. And the Bible gave her instructions in the fourth verse, how she's going to receive the revelation from God to the point that he's a God above all gods. That even though these gods down here on earth are telling you what you can't have, God said, I'm going to show you who the true God is. I'm going to provide for you. Knowing that you'll work with this man of God, stick with him, Obadiah, during the course of the time, he's taking care of my prophets and my people. I'm going to bless you in your days to come. And I'm going to bless you forevermore. He said to her in the fourth verse, and I'll come into the house, shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and I shall pour out into those vessels. Notice what he's saying. I'm going to pour into those vessels. It's not so much that she got the vessels. It's what God's getting ready to do to a small, just a little bit that you have. You ain't got much, but God's going to do much to what the little bit you have. She may have got all the vessels that she needed, man and woman of God, but God's going to just show you, I take a small thing. I take them, what is it, small beginnings, and say, never despise small beginnings. I take something foolish in the eyes of any man, and I begin to mesmerize them beyond belief. God wants you to be a creditor in the earth, to be able to do things for the men and women of God, to help them realize and understand that the plan God got for them is really more than what they can see. Go in the house, shut the door upon you and thy sons, and I want you to begin to pour out the oil into these vessels. It wasn't so much about the vessels. It's what God's getting to do, so something small in the eyesight of man. She looked at it and said, our handmaid, if you go back to the fourth verse, she said, my handmaid, I have nothing but just a pot of oil. It wasn't insignificant to her. It didn't look like it was able to do nothing. But that little pot of oil is about to change the whole structure in the power shift of her whole life. Go in the door, shut it upon you and thy sons, and begin to pour it out. And the woman did just what the prophet told her to do. And it came to pass when the vessels were full, she said to her sons, bring me yet another. Can y'all catch this? It ain't about the vessel. It's about what God done through such a small thing. The vessels are all full, but God is just throwing out, oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, he's still pouring out his blessings upon your life, if you can just see it. Sometimes we get a little bit from somebody, we think that's it. Sometimes we're so small-minded in our thinking, and we get a little bit from here, we think that's it. God want to bring a wealth system into you. He wants you to be a conduit in the earth. He want to bless you, that you be a filtrate system in the earth to bless all the kingdom and for whatever they need. You get a small something, then you look at it and been surprised. Ooh, no, that ain't the ooh. That ain't even the ah. It ain't even scratched the surface what God can do for you in your life. And that's me and anybody else who believe and trust in the word of God. When you go back to the book of Matthew, that our Father who in heaven, hallowed be thy name, that thy kingdom come, the will of God be done in my life as it is in heaven. The daily bread can be just what this woman of God got right here. Y'all want to listen to me. Her daily bread, when she called on the prophet, gave her just, God, sometimes he sent a priest or prophet into your life. But if you neglect the orders of that priest or that prophet, and things begin to dry up, they say that you never miss the well until the water gets dry. Sometimes men of God come in your life, they don't seem like they mean nothing to you or significant to you. But when you begin to shun them in such a way that you don't want to follow orders of that Levitical order that God gave them, God will begin to cut that thing off and he'll move them on to another area. Somebody that'll listen. The same thing happened with Jesus Christ. In his hometown, wasn't nobody able to even listen to him. But through the power of God and through the revelation of the Holy Spirit, he went over another time and healed about everything over there. And he went on about his business. People look at you as if you don't have anything, what he has to take. Because of the small area that you're living in, the small area that you're operating in. Never despise small beginnings, he says. But you got to believe and understand, like this woman of God here, in this area of this book of 2 Kings over here. This woman said, I ain't got nothing. I'm just going to pour out this oil in these vessels. When I pour out this oil in these vessels, I'm going to come back. And when I pour it all out, and the oil, the Bible said the oil stayed. This is what gets me about this particular area. And it's truly a testimony about it in your life. The Bible said to him to believe all things are possible to the believer. The word of God declares the creed according to Mark 9 and 23, that him that believeth all things are possible. This woman began to do just what the prophet told her to do. The Bible says it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to the son, pass me yet another vessel. Remember, the oil still got the capability to go. That's the belief system. That you start appointed, it ain't going to stop. God didn't have to stop it there. It's how you believe. How your blessings flow on your belief system, on your faith. The word of God declared, and he said unto her, there's not another vessel anymore. And the oil stayed. It didn't say it stopped. It said it stayed. God never stops the flow of blessings. It all depends on how you carry yourself to stop the blessings from coming. If you believe God can't deliver to you anymore, then he won't deliver to you anymore. It's all according to your faith. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. And the Bible says when you ask the opposite of your faith, and then you ask amiss. The woman of God declared and decreed that the oil stayed. That's what the word has declared, that it stayed. It didn't stop, it just stayed. Some of us look at the point where it did. No. You don't understand. God started the flow, and he can only want to slow the flow. If I said, it came to pass, he told the man of God in the 7th verse, and she said, go and sell the oil. Listen to what he said. Go sell the oil and pay what your debts. What kind of debt did she have? First, she got rid of those creditors that was harassing her. Then when you got something going on in your life, it don't seem like you can make it through, call God. Call your banker. The one who's got all the bank. See, God don't believe in small things. I can remember a testimony that I put on the line this morning. I said, you all want to give $1 to this particular kingdom, to this particular work here at HNLC. I doubt if anybody ever do that I really know, because I'm believing God to do something outside of the ones I know, because they would have done it by now. But listen to what I'm saying here when I say this. When people get too familiar with you, they don't believe the power that's in you. They begin to take you for granted. They use you for certain things to promote themselves rather than promoting God. And when I walk in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, I'm looking for miracles. When I walk in as the apostle in the body of Christ, I walk with the authority. The word of God declared, I put a dollar up there. God said, I want you to put $1,000 up there. He said, matter of fact, put $100 up there, and then I'm going to take it up as it goes. And as they begin to see that, he said, somebody's going to drop something in your pocket in this ministry that they don't understand. The minute I changed it from a dollar, I begin to look at my website and begin to hear my phone ticking and clinging. I don't know where it was coming from, but it's amazing how it come from countries other than, it didn't even come from one of my relatives or my friends. It came from people that was unknown. They don't even know me. They don't even come to the States and they haven't heard me one time. But they begin to hear and say, we like the work that you're doing. We see the things you're doing. We listen to your websites. We know you're doing a great work, and we want to contribute to that. We believe God is in it. And they begin to give. And they begin to pour in. And I said, look at the Lord. And that's what the Lord gave me this word tonight. Over here in this particular area of 2 Kings, when you begin to hang around familiar spirits to the point that they don't know how to think supernaturally about what the things that God is doing, you need to remove yourself, pull yourself from that crowd. Don't flow with those who won't flow with you, because you're trying to go to another level. And if you really understand from an athletic standpoint of view, when I was there, you got to know that you got to move to each round to another level. Most of us watching this Cav and this particular Golden State game, I don't really care for neither one of them. I don't know. But I know for each one of them to get there, they had to go through a certain level of teams to get there, and they had to play at a certain level, and they had to get on a certain criteria to get to those levels. When your mind begins to shrink where you are and you don't have no other thought about moving to a higher level, you don't ask God for the supernatural things. You ask God just for the little things. Want to step out on faith and have a testimony to the point that when God does something for your life, it'll be more than you'll ever see. You're looking for this criteria right there. God said, I want you to raise the bar. If you say you're walking in authority, you say you're walking in power, you're walking in the illumination of the authority of God, then raise the bar. Don't be scared to raise it. You got power. You got the ability to speak things and call things that be not of the world. And know that when you call it, it can come to full fruition. You labor with pain in your body because you hadn't stopped the very terminators to come and put the pain in your body. You suffer through all these things in your life because you hadn't prayed to God about how he can deliver you from it. The Bible says, if I can just believe it and know that in the midst of whatever I may be going through or try to come upon me, I can conquer it by the power of God said. He said, am I a God that I should lie, or am I a son of a man that I should have to repent? This woman over here, she saw this magnificent word that came from this. She believed what this prophet was going to give her. What do you have in your house? Get the buckets, get the vessels, go in your house, shut the door. And when you come out from doing the very things that the prophet told you to do, guess what? Go pay off your debts. when you pay off the debt, it had to be. When you look at the story and you read it, it don't say how much money the woman had, but she had two sons. I know it's pretty young, and I know they probably eat up some stuff. And then she had to live. The Bible said, go live on the rest. Now, that got to show you something, that if he told her to live on the rest, it had to be a significant amount, to the point where she didn't want for nothing all the days of her life. It didn't say nothing about the woman of God was sick. It didn't say nothing about the woman of God had a problem. Another story brings me to a question about one of the stories in the book of Kings. I mean, it comes off the top of my head, but I got to look at it. How this widow woman, who Elijah passed her house every day, and she had a son, and the son began to pass away. He stretched himself out across the sun. The scriptures have come to me. And as he began to stretch himself out over this woman of God, over this woman of God's son, but the son later on lived, but later on he also died. Well, he died, but he also lived again. And then as another phantom came and lived, I heard the man of God, Prophet Miola, say that when he stretched out over the man of the woman of God's son, he began to live. And as he lived, there's another phantom came behind that. God is always doing something. That when they had to get them out of their land and all the stuff that she lived on, the crops and all the fields that she lived on, they had to come in time where they got them all out of there. But then it came a time they bought them back. And as they bought them back, the years that she was after from a land where she's supposed to probably build these crops and grow these particular herbs and vegetables that she needs to live on, they say the king that was over that particular area and that environment of that particular country said that the man of God said, this is the woman who knew the prophet Elijah, how he laid across her son. That's your son? Yeah, that's your son. That's the one he brought back to life. See, they get a woman back that and everything she had, everything that she had missed out on in the years that she was gone, give it all back to her plus her house. And the scripture don't come familiar to me right now, but the God is putting it on my heart. Let me just get you to understand how God can continue to bring you out of circumstances in your life. When you obey the word of God, when people come before you that don't seem like they're nothing in your eyesight, you ought to pay more close attention to them. Because God is doing things for unfamiliar people to the mind, to the point that he's trying to get you to see something. You looking for popularity. God said, it ain't in there. It ain't about how much this, that, and the other. I'm taking something so foolish, and I'm going to confound the wise. Matter of fact, I heard the man of God talk about the testimony of this particular scripture. And you look over here, and I got to move because, I mean, the Holy Ghost is just telling me to get on and get on out because I need to do what he's telling me to do. In 1 Corinthians, he brings about a word. I remember the man of God down there in Ghana, Bright Albright, Dr. Bright Albright, brought a word to us out here one time. We was on the station, and he brought us a very familiar scripture over here in the 27th verse. And it talks about how the power of God moves in each and everybody's life that believe him. The Bible says over in that 1 Corinthians 1 and 27, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. That got me right there, first of all. What seems to be foolish to us, that God is, that's where his elevation is coming through. When it seems like it's right in your eyesight, God says, I'm going to switch it. I'm going to use something that doesn't even look like it got the capability to come up and doing nothing. And I'm going to use that to show you that I can use the level of this particular environment, of this particular individual, to bring something out of them more than you can imagine or even think of. People tell me all the time, you talk a little fast, but you got to move with me. I'm not called to everybody. I hear my mother's voice when she called me. But it doesn't mean that because you don't understand or keep up with what I'm talking about, that maybe you're not called. Maybe you're not supposed to be over here. Maybe you're supposed to be somewhere else. Yeah, I'm a quick talker because that's what's in me. And there's a certain group of people that can hear me when I speak and talk. That God uses that as a method of saying, they're not for you because they can't move the way you want because you move pretty quick. And they're trying to move slow. They got a load of our spirit in them. They too slow to keep up with where you're going. And I'm moving you like that. I'm moving you like white on rice. I move you that quick. And the word of God is saying the same thing here in this particular scripture. It didn't seem right to the eyes of the man that I speak in such a language that don't seem basic to people out in the world. I don't have that intellectualism, that nice, we're gonna get here, and that ain't it. I run in a whole different area. My arena runs different from the race of these other men that you call so-called intellectuals in the body of Christ, the ones who's really just tickling your ears and ripping you off at the same time. But I don't need your money. But I need your prayers. That's if you're going to pray and walk upright with me. Because I'm in the position where I don't really want to deal with anything negative anymore. People who hop in and hop out, this. I call them schizophrenics. And God don't deal with that kind of people. He deal with people who's going to want to study and flow with you. And when the word of God speaks this thing about here in the area of 1 Corinthians in the 27th verse, he says, but I have chosen the foolish things of the world and have confounded the wise, and has chosen the weak things of the world, which they look at me in the same way, but they don't know how God is moving. But he don't talk to, that's your building, your, he don't, they always look at what you don't, Remember people who don't, beware of critical spirits. Spirits of error, the ones who are always going to open their mouth against you. I can hear the Holy Ghost speaking right now. They're around right now. But that's all right, because you got to know how to walk through the shadows of the valley of death, that you can have to fear no evil, because the rod and the staff and the power of God is always with you. He talks about this particular scripture, and I don't want to move too fast on this, but I'm moving because I got a certain amount of time, because I'm, you know, there's certain income that we pay to keep these stations going, and God keeps them up. So I only got so much time on the air to do this work. But notice what he says over here, and we call it the, I think it's the TLB. It's a TOB Bible. I want to make sure I get over here and get to this point. Yeah, it's called a living. It's called a Living Bible. I want to look at the same in the Living Bible, the Living Translation Bible, that 27th verse. As I heard Dr. Albright speak about this, instead, God has deliberately chosen to us the ideas. Look here, I've deliberately chosen to us the ideas that the world considered foolish. Look what it says. I have deliberately chosen. Ideas the world considered foolish and of little worth. Now, that's the ones who you don't shout right, you don't jump right, you don't roll right, they don't look like God. He got a head like a preacher, he got a voice like a, they want to put you in the category they want you to be, according to what they feel is right in their own eyesight. He said, but it's little worth in order to shame those people who are considered by the world as wise and great. They look at you as if you ain't got what it take, and they're going to keep on looking at you like that. They look at Elijah the same way. They look at Obadiah the same way. They look at Christ the same way. They look at the disciples the same way. They're looking at you the same way too. You don't have the bodies or the people around. You don't have that what it take in the eyesight of the human standpoint of view. So they use you for a platform, and they walk over top of you, and it's only to get them in a position to be heard. And they don't have any desire to be with you whatsoever, but they want to use you for what they can get out of you. That's what this woman, a God in Kings, found out about her husband. They used him. He got all the things they needed from him, but when he died, they said, we're going to put the debt back on you. And that's what they do to you now. They'll use you to the point they can get all they can get out of you. And then what they'll do when you're going, they'll still use you to the point that they feel that they ain't got enough out of you. They'll use you when you're in your grave. They'll use you. This man had nothing to offer after he died, but the anointing oil that was in his house that he used to bless these prophets and feed these prophets in the particular cave. But now it's time for his departure came. Testimony. What are you saying, Apostle? You be careful on your walk and on your journey to where you're going. You be careful not to be like the young prophet that they said over in Kings 13. Go back not the way in which you come. You're going to run into problems on your way down. But as you run into the problems, you understand what the Word of God says in Psalms 1. You remember what the Word of God says in Psalms 91. You remember Psalms 23. You remember Psalms 27. You remember Psalms 28. You remember them things. That when ain't nobody else there with you, God is going to show you in the midst of what they consider you as been, they've been not been worthy. He's going to make you worthy. I see a lot of things that go on in the ministry. I see it inside the walls. I see it outside the walls. It's just a testimony. We're just talking about things now. The station comes on probably the 450th time this year, or over the years I've been doing this testimony service. During the course of time, I get a few men of God in. I don't get man of God in. I mean, you know, I've been doing it when they wasn't here. I got to still do it. God has called me to do this, so I can't look at what they think about it. I got to move forward with it. But these words we talk about, or we have talked about on today, deals with the process of how your life and where you're walking, you're going to run into transits. You're going to run into problems. You're going to run into situations, but you must keep moving. What you got to do, you got to shake the dust. You got to brush those off who are not with you. You got to brush those off who don't care for you, who brush those off who uses you, and you got to keep moving. Sometimes they're hard blows, but you got to keep moving. You got to lift yourself up out of the monkey mile, out of the dust. And you got to shake and you got to keep moving. And God said, nah, that's what I need. A warrior that's going to walk and fight for me despite of nobody around with him. They're going to talk about you. They're going to put you down. That's a testimony. They're going to call you all manner of a name, say this, that. That's a testimony. Now, how they going to look at you, where you are, and then when God begin to elevate you. They're going to look at the way you use and how God begin to slowly elevate you. And they begin to ridicule you. But God steady elevating. He steady elevating. He steady pushing you up. All the dirt they throw, it just pushes you up. It just pushes you up. That's all it does. They say they throw dirt on you. They throw dirt on you. Well, you know, yeah, that's nutrition. You know, the more dirt. I'm a root in. I'm made of dirt. You know, from the dirt from earth. Keep on. Yeah, it may help me. Push me up. Let somebody push you up. But at the same time they push you up, do what the word of God say. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Make sure you do that. We got a pretty heavy line of callers on the line. But this particular testimony service, I believe we're gonna let the Lord just move on this one. We're gonna let him move on this one. And we're gonna call this, you know, our testimony service on this particular afternoon. And we're gonna continue to believe God for the work he's doing in our lives. And we're going to know and understand and realize the plan that God got for us is really more than what we can see. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you one thing. If I was you, I'd be trying to find a place I could prop myself down and ask God, what does he need me to do in my life? Because the years, we're in the middle of this year. A lot of us ain't going to see it all the way out. You might just tell the truth about it. Same thing with the kingdom of God. A lot of us ain't going to make it all the way through. You must, but those who put their trust in the Lord, despite of all the waves they go through, God will see them through whatever proclivity they're going through in their life. I'm Apostle Charles Ellis here at Harvest New Life Church and Harvest New Life Studios. A pleasure for you guys to be with me during the course of time of this particular meeting. Love you guys. Hope you take care. Hope the next Thursday we'll see you guys. Until then, God bless.